Hey, it's Ian Furness for my good friend, Dr. Jay Rudd at Aurora LASIK and AuroraLASIK.com. No more readers. How about that? For about 15 years, I've used reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange. I can tell you for a fact it's a life-changing and also something I wish I would have done years ago. You need to check it out as well. Go to AuroraLASIK.com. That's AuroraLASIK.com. Dr. Jay Rudd. He is absolutely sensational. Get your consultation scheduled. That's AuroraLASIK.com for your refractive lens exchange.
Greg Cosell of NFL Films and NFL Matchup joins Ian for a weekly breakdown of all things NFL. Brought to you by Seattle Cider, not your standard cider, and by Two Beers. Life is just a little more honest after two beers. Make sure you check out both Seattle Cider and Two Beers at the Woods Tasting Room in the SoTo Industrial District. Now with Greg Cosell, here's Ian Furness.
First and foremost, Greg is on hold. Greg, I'll get to you in just a heartbeat here. Big shout out to our friends at Seattle Cider and Two Beers, all under one roof. And they are adjacent to and working with the Woods Tasting Room, SoTo Industrial District, just off a marginal way, right behind the old haunted house there that Cube used to have.
Yeah.
Can't miss it. Kevin and I had a chance to go with our buddy Gus yesterday from Columbia Distributing, and we took a little tour behind the scenes, Maura and Alexis, and looked at all the setup. And I'll tell you, Seattle Cider is a big deal. Like,
holy
I forgot
cow.
What a big deal. They are a very big deal. And Two Beers, if you haven't checked it out yet, look for it out there. It's a very, very good beer as well. I love their tagline, life is just a little more honest after two beers. And Seattle Cider as well, not your standard cider. The seltzer ciders, I had the pumpkin cider, which you're going to say, what pumpkin cider? It's like an apple pie, but it's not that sweet, which I really like about their ciders. Really cool. The Woods Tasting Room is awesome. Big thanks to Maura. Big, big thanks to Alexis. This is a cool partnership for us. And if you haven't tried their products yet, please do so. Local company. Love seeing local companies. And they make great stuff.
You can obviously get it basically anywhere in the world now, it seems, including if you happen to be out in Pennsylvania or, you know, places on the East Coast who have it too. But it's an awesome local thing. And, man, they have so many different flavors. Get down to the tasting room so that you can try a bunch of different ones, because it's a vast array of options, and it is really, really good.
Buy local, people. Buy local. Seattle Cider, Two Beers. Buy local. Those guys have great stuff. Greg Cosell joins us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Ian. How are you?
I'm good. Here we go. Cowboys, Seahawks. Feels like they meet almost every year. It's one of those teams, kind of like the Carolina Panthers or teams like that we see every year with the Seahawks. And it's Dallas yet again, and it's Dak versus Russ, and it's a pretty good matchup. And boy, I'll tell you what, if nothing else, Greg, on paper, it's two teams that look exactly alike. Good offenses, bad defenses.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny how the NFL works. You never know. Watch, we'll have a 17-13 game, but now it looks like it'll be more like a 40-37 game. No, the Dallas offense is pretty interesting. Obviously, really good players. C.D. Lamb being there now in the slot gives them a different look than Randall Cobb, because C.D. Lamb is a little more of a vertical player, so they can do more things with vertical route concepts, particularly against single high, which you know they're going to get a ton of from Seattle, because Jamal Adams is obviously more of a box player. So you will see vertical route concepts from the Cowboys for sure.
Well, let's talk about that passing game. So Lamb's a slot guy. Is Cooper your X? How does their offense look in terms of the passing game?
No, normally the way it works, and this goes back to last year as well, Gallup is predominantly the X.
Okay.
Cooper is the Z. He's the more of the movement receiver, and then Lamb is in the slot. Now, of course, this isn't 100% of the snaps, but that's primarily how it works out. Gallup is the X. Cooper's the Z. Most people automatically think Cooper because they know him more than Gallup. They think he's the X, but he's not.
I just kind of think as a bigger guy that could win those one-on-one battles if he's tethered to the line, but that's good. So it's good. And so CeeDee Lamb, it sounds like you've been impressed by him. I know you scouted him coming out of college.
Yeah, and I liked him. You know, some people absolutely loved him. I liked him. I think he's long, he's athletic, he fits really well with what they do. Something like 40%+ of his catches his last year at Oklahoma came out of the slot, so he's very comfortable playing in the slot, and he fits extremely well into this offense because, as I said, he has vertical ability, and he's good run after catch. So they've got a dynamic trio of wide receivers, and that's really become their calling card now. They lost Blake Jarwin to an injury week one. Now, Dalton Schultz did catch 9 balls last week. They threw the ball probably close to 50 times, I think. in an ideal world, I don't think they want to do that. But the tight end is one of those guys that I don't think he's going to kill you, although in the red zone he can be a factor.
Dalton Schultz wears number 86 for Seahawks fans. CeeDee Lamb, by the way, it'll be hard to miss, number 88 out there. They lead the league in explosive pass plays, or actually explosive plays, period.
Yes.
And Seattle has given up more explosive plays than anybody in the NFL. How much do you think from watching their two games, is it a product of both games they trailed for the majority of the game? In fact, they trailed all the game against Atlanta until the final play, and they trailed all the basically the entire game against the Rams. How much of those explosive plays is just kind of, hey, we're going to start chucking it down the field, we got to get chunk plays, or is that something that is part of their repertoire with Dak?
Well, clearly, the sample size is not large enough to know that for sure, because the Atlanta game was a little bit of an aberration. They got behind very big. The game against the Rams week one, they were not behind big. So they still have Zeke. And, I mean, Zeke did have 22 carries last week, which is a high number. Even Zeke doesn't normally average 20 carries a game. Usually they're around 19 or so, give or take. So they do want to run the ball. I believe they're going to start Brandon Knight at left tackle again. I don't believe Tyron Smith will go this week. I don't know if you've seen an injury report.
He actually
did a nice job at left tackle last week. But no, I don't think they want to drop back 45, 50 times a game. I think Zeke is a significant part of what they do, and they want him to be. But they're very, very explosive, and I don't think they're uncomfortable at all calling pass plays. I don't think they call pass plays thinking that, oh man, this isn't something we want to do. They are very, very explosive on the outside, and Lamb, like I said, he adds a totally different dimension than Randall Cobb was a year ago.
The preliminary practice report, we'll get the final one later. Tyron Smith today listed as questionable still, so Brandon Knight, 69, may slip into that left tackle spot. They're banged up on that offensive line, aren't they?
A little bit. You know, they've been playing Steele at right tackle. He's had his ups and downs through two games. But again, the Seahawks, you know, at this point, there's two things you can pretty much say about the Seahawks defensively right now. You're going to see single high safety, and they've been limited with their pass rush. And I think those things are pretty fair.
Yeah, I'd want to get your impressions of that. And I guess this is almost a chicken and egg question, but the pass rush, you know, three sacks, two have come from Adams on a blitz, one came from Mayoa on a fourth down play where he got Ryan from the backside. You know, Pete Carroll tried to spin it on Wednesday, Greg, that it was, hey, you know what, if we would have finished our tackles in the backfield, and it would have looked a lot different. Well, they only had five quarterback hits. I'm not even sure if they had a true pressure or hurry in amongst those besides the one that where Mayoa bounced off of Cam Newton. How much of the pass coverage struggles, and Shaquille Griffin's given up a ton. Dunbar, even though he had a pick, has given up almost 20 yards a catch, and 70% of his passes against him are being completed. How much of that is on the corner play? How much of it is on just a lack of pass rush?
Well, it's always a combination, but think of it this way in this game, because that's what we're trying to do here, is look to the Cowboys game. The Cowboys have been in 11 personnel, meaning one back, one tight end, and three wide receivers on about 85% of their snaps. That's the highest total in the NFL. So now what you're going to get is you're going to get Seattle playing nickel. And I assume Amadi will be in the slot, correct?
Yes, that's the plan right now, yes.
Right, so to me, and I've mentioned CeeDee Lamb a number of times, I don't think Seattle will play a lot of man coverage. Because I don't think, look, everybody plays man at some point, depending on down and distance and field location. But I think that predominantly they're going to play zone. I don't think they're going to feel real comfortable about matching up Amadi on CeeDee Lamb. So I think you're going to see a lot of zone. And, you know, in zone, everything's a little different as far as technique. It comes down to eyes, alignment, things like that. You know, splits of receivers. There are many factors that go into playing zone. But I think you're going to see far more zone than man coverage, because I don't think they're going to feel very comfortable playing man.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, ESPN NFL Matchup, brought to you by Seattle Cider, not your standard cider, and by Two Beers. Life is just a little more honest after Two Beers. Make sure to check out both Seattle Cider and Two Beers, the Woods Tasting Room, Soto Industrial District. Other side of the football, Seahawk fans, you think that the Seahawk pass rush is anemic and bad. And frankly, it is. It's really horrible, to be honest with you. But the Cowboys, believe it or not, are worse. not only have one less sack, just two, but the percentage of pass attempts and sacks, that little analytical stat that the NFL keeps as well, Dallas is worse than Seattle in terms of dropbacks and sack percentage. So I'm surprised by that, Greg. DeMarcus Lawrence, Aldon Smith comes out of wherever he was at, Everson Griffin, and yet they're not getting to the quarterback at all.
Yeah, but they're good players, so you know that could change any given week. Now, obviously, you're dealing with Russell Wilson, who certainly can defeat pressure. That's one of the things he does as well or better than any quarterback in the league. But at least the Cowboys have good players with Lawrence, Smith, Griffin. They play when they go to their sub-nickel, they do go often with all three of those guys on the field with either Griffin or Smith moving inside. So they are good players. The issue for the Cowboys will be in their secondary because I believe Awuzie's out.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, yes.
Yeah, so now you're trying to figure out who's going to play opposite Trayvon Diggs, the rookie, because they're a little limited. A lot of players are out. So the matchup for the Cowboys in the secondary is not very good either. And, you know, I think I told you this summer, you know, that I thought DK Metcalf had some similarities to Julio Jones. And I think with each week, you're kind of seeing that.
Yeah, there is no doubt about that. On pace for 1,500 yards this season, has had a touchdown from the X, has a touchdown from the slot position. So, you know, DK moving all over the place. I saw a story, and I'll let you kind of describe what they do, but I saw a story today in Dallas that some of the players, and I don't know if complaining is the right word, Greg, but there was some murmurs down there that the players were kind of thinking, hey, the new defense with the coordinator Nolan, there's too much to it. They're getting too fancy, too tricky.
Right.
It's too deep a playbook. What do you see from that defense? Is it too intricate?
Yeah, that's hard for me to say because I don't know how the players, you know, are responding to it. I mean, if they feel that way, obviously you're there's a lot of new players. You're playing with a rookie corner in Diggs. Van Der Esch is out, so there's new players here. Xavier Woods is one safety. The other safety is new. So when you have new players in a new system, that takes time. You know, they were very fortunate to win last week in that crazy game against Atlanta, but clearly their defense has not performed well. Now, again, it's a time issue. Maybe it is intricate, and maybe it will take time. You obviously want your players to feel that they can play fast, that they don't have to think through their assignments. We'll see. But the point is that they're very injured in the secondary, and I'm not sure right now who's going to start opposite Trayvon Diggs at the other corner. So I think Seattle has very good receivers. I've been very happy to see that Moore's been getting meaningful snaps. I think he's I've talked about him since they drafted him. You know that.
Yep.
I think he's a good player. I mean, he had a great touchdown catch last week against New England. That was a really difficult catch.
We talked about what Seattle's going to do defensively and play a lot of zone. It feels like, just from talking to the players after the game, the post-game interviews I've done, it seems like Metcalf and Moore specifically mentioned they saw a lot of man from Atlanta and from New England. What about, I mean, not knowing who's going to be in there necessarily, is Dallas a man team in terms of the secondary? Are they going to try to go ahead?
I charted all their third down defenses because third down's the money down. And they played two-man, which is man. They played cover six, which I thought was a foundational coverage. It means that cover six means you're playing cover four or quarters on one side of the field and cover two on the other side of the field. They played cover two, and then they had some five-man zone pressures with cover three behind it. So on third down, they probably played a little more zone concepts than man. And I think they'll have to stay with that. Again, you know, you saw what Seattle did last week against New England. Now, New England didn't play quite as much man last week as they normally do, but that was the Russell Wilson factor, which is the other reason I don't think the Cowboys will play as much man as some might think, because you always have the Russell Wilson factor.
Can't turn your back to number three, knowing what he's going to do at that point. When you watch DK, I'd go back to him for a heartbeat, because I think I saw the number, and Hugh Millen brought it up with us on Monday, the percentage of times that he played in the slot last season was rather low. It seems like it's increasing this year. What do you see?
Well, I think they'd love to be able to move him around. I think I remember in the playoffs against Philly last year, he did have a big catch when he was in the slot. I think they would love to move him around. You know, he started out pretty much as the boundary X, because the boundary X, they run certain routes. They don't run routes in tandem with anyone else when you're the boundary X. You run your own routes. And the kind of routes he runs that play to his strengths, certainly when he first came out of college, are routes where you get him on the move. Vertical routes, deep crossers, over routes, slants, movement routes. You know, he's not a sink your hips, get in and out of your break type receiver, which is not a negative. That's just not what he is. But yeah, you can absolutely start moving him around. You want to do that because it puts more pressure on the defense.
A lot of talk this year about Russell Wilson, but Seattle still likes to run the football. Last week, very balanced offense. They actually ran for 150-plus yards. How does that Dallas run defense? I see the name Poe out there, and I know he's aging a little bit, but I always just think I see Dontari Poe, and I'm like, that dude just stops the run. He plugs up the middle. What does that look like?
Well, that's a fascinating question, because now you're getting into game plan, because you're going to look at this Dallas defense. You're home in Seattle, so you're going to look at this Dallas defense and you're going to say, where's the weakness? The weakness will be in their secondary. So do you come out feeling also, and again, I don't know how Pete Carroll thinks about this, but feeling that, hey, maybe my defense won't hold up real well either. I guess my feeling is, and I know Pete's a defensive coach by nature, but I don't think that they'll go into this game with the idea of playing it safe to try to help their defense. I think they're an aggressive offensive team now, and I think that they're going to come out aggressively, which isn't to say they're not going to run the ball at all, but I don't think they're going to play to shorten the game and help their defense. I think they're going to play to score points, because this Dallas defense is very vulnerable on the back end.
Feels a little Atlanta-like, Greg, as you described that. Feels a little Atlanta-like.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I don't think, look, you saw what happened. Yeah, you're talking about week one when they came out.
Yeah, and, I mean, rookie corner, you know, yeah. Questions in the secondary. Let's take advantage of it. I mean, that's it, right?
Yeah, I mean, they'll hand the ball off. I'm not suggesting they won't, but I don't think this will be like the games the last couple of years where pretty much they had high percentage run on first down. I think that they're going to feel like they can score points on this Cowboy defense. And look, I think if you're being realistic, you're going to believe that the Cowboys will score on your defense.
Oh, we believe that.
Well, I'm talking about Pete Carroll and staff. they're probably not asking your opinion on that.
No,
I know they're not asking mine.
Let me look at my phone and see if Pete hasn't called me yet today to ask me my opinion. But yeah.
Well, don't hold your breath on that, Ian. My guess is that call won't be coming.
He's too busy paying his $100,000 fine for not masking up right now. So you know, he's doing that, sir. What time we hit the blue button, right, Kevin, to find the matchup show this weekend?
They changed our time today, so I don't know that. So you have to do the blue button, but obviously the Seattle Dallas game is in our show.
Nice.
In the name of full disclosure here, I did do a piece on the Cowboys passing game, which showed their vertical concepts versus single high, because I think that they're going to have to score points.
Well, I have a feeling that's going to be a nightmare when Seahawks fans watch that. But that's all right. We'll tell.
Well, sorry, guys. You know,
I know. Can't all be roses and sunshine there. They're great. I appreciate it. We'll check it out on the ESPN Matchup Show this weekend, ESPN, ESPN2. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you in a week's time.
All right. Let's hope we get a win, and then we're on to Miami.
I love it. There you go. Thank you very much. That's our good friend, Greg Cosell, joining us here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. Big thanks again, Kevin. Huge thanks to our new sponsors, Seattle Cider, Not Your Standard Cider. They've got the pumpkin out now, the pumpkin cider, which I'm telling you, I was expecting something different. I wanted to try it because I like pumpkin everything.
Sure.
And I am loving it right now. Absolutely loving it. Did you have the papaya seltzer last night?
I have not had that one yet. We were enjoying. I had a very happy wife last night.
Yes.
Came home and brought home the Crimson Passion.
Very good.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Very, very good.
Plus a great name.
Yeah. Who doesn't love Crimson?
Everybody.
I don't know if they have a purple one. They probably have some purple.
Nobody likes purple. So.
But no, yeah, fantastic. Get down to the woods. That my biggest recommendation. Get down to the woods. Ask them to try a bunch of the different ones. Find one that you love, because they're going to have one.
Yep. And if it's not in a can, if the cider's not in a can, they'll put in a growler for you,
yep.
Just like a beer. And then they've got two beers down there, too. They get their fresh hop out there. Their Wonderland IPA is a really good IPA, and I had not had that until a couple weeks ago. Very good as well. So big thanks again, Seattle Cider, Not Your Standard Cider, and Two Beers. Life is just a little more honest after two beers.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for my good friend, Dr. J. Rudd at Aurora LASIK and AuroraLASIK.com. No more readers. How about that? For about 15 years, I've used reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange. I can tell you for a fact it's a life-changing and also something I wish I would have done years ago. You need to check it out as well. Go to AuroraLASIK.com. That's AuroraLASIK.com. Dr. J. Rudd. He is absolutely sensational. Get your consultation scheduled. That's AuroraLASIK.com for your refractive lens exchange.